to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, as we continue our series through this book of the Bible. Luke chapter 12. Let me just read to you the first three verses of that. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says there, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they had trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops.'" Father, I do thank you for this this passage of Scripture, a very sobering passage of Scripture as we look into it here. And Lord, we thank you for a innumerable multitude was here to hear it. Of course, he's addressing his disciples, we understand, but we get to hear it as your disciples here this morning. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these are sobering words to hear for what we just read there in the first three verses declare that no one seeking to hide sin, if you want to look at it in a very general sense, no one seeking to hide sin will have it remain hidden. And really, what we find here in our passage this morning is not only a warning, but I think, too, an encouragement to not to, okay? An encouragement to not hide sin, certainly avoid what we're going to see the Pharisees had been doing here. We read in the first verse that there was a lot of people. They were trampling one another and probably for all of the wrong reasons trying to get to Jesus. But in the midst of that, he says to his disciples, and I tend to think that it was those that were closest to him, not the entire crowd, but of course they're in earshot, as we are here this morning to listen to what Jesus has to say. And they're sobering words to hear, for they declare that those people that are seeking to hide something, that are kind of putting up a front perhaps, who aren't what they really are, portraying something that they really aren't, all of that's going to be exposed at some point in time. And again, it is not only a warning, but an encouragement for us not to be that way. Don't be like what he's going to describe here concerning the Pharisees. A warning and an encouragement. There's a company called Diamond D. And they have ranches, I believe, all around the country. And their business, Diamond D's business, is the supplying of really mean bulls for rodeos. That's what they do, okay? If you've ever watched a bull riding at a rodeo, there's a good chance that at least one of those bulls came from Diamond D Ranches. Well, they actually have a ranch right up in Leverick in Utah, just a little bit north of Hurricane, Utah. It's right on the old highway there. And I've driven by that. I even remember as a teenager when that ranch, that particular branch of Diamond D was established. And they have fencing that comes right up alongside the highway, and I could see into the fence, I could see bulls. But I remember one day stopping to just to look at them, all right? And I got out of my car, and I walked up to the fence, and inside the fence there was a sign, and one might suspect it would be a no trespassing sign, but it wasn't. What the sign said was, "If you cross this field, do it in 9 seconds because the bull can do it in 10. And what that sign does is it both warns and encourages a person to not. It's a warning that if you enter this field, there could be some very severe consequences. And at the same time, it's an encouragement that stay on this side of the fence, on that side of the fence, okay? And really, if you think about it, most laws, okay, civil laws are similar to that. Buckle up. It's the law. There could be consequences if you don't. You could be safe if you do. It's an encouragement and a warning. Anyone here remember the old TV show Beretta? Okay, and I was actually fairly young when it was on the air, but do you remember the slogans? I know there were a few of them, but in my mind there were two that I remembered well. The first one I think was actually in the opening song. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. All right? An encouragement and a warning. And you can take that to the bank. Yeah. All right. There's the Beretta fans right there laughing. An encouragement and a warning. Well, while laws per se are not what is being addressed in our passage, what we do find is a warning and encouragement that we can trust, okay? A warning against being hypocritical, a warning against hypocritical false teachers who deny the Lord, and really an encouragement for us to not be like them, because there will be consequences for those who are. And inversely, there will be provision and safety for those of us who aren't. Now, there is a temptation in our world to be man-pleasers. In fact, it is a strong temptation in our country right now to be man-pleasers. By nature, we typically don't like conflict. We like peace. And sometimes we find ourselves pressured by the world to give in to things, even tolerate things that God says are not true, and we do it for the sake of peace with those around us. The problem with that is, when we do that, by default, we now become enemies of God. Okay, now we don't have peace with Him. And the point of this passage is to teach us that it's better to be an enemy of the world and a friend of God rather than an enemy of God and the friend of, well, the lies of the world. In fact, in James 4:4, we read this, adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, meaning Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's a challenge for us in our world. It always has been, but it seems like the challenge is growing. And I'll tell you, when we become people pleasers, as believers, when we become people pleasers, that is hypocrisy. And that is exactly what's being addressed in our passage. So today's passage is both a warning and encouragement to not be like the hypocritical Pharisees with their man-pleasing false teachings, because there will be consequences. Our subject this morning is the truth about false teachers. The truth about false teachers. We're going to look at the first 12 verses of this chapter, okay? But the very first consequence we learn from the first three verses, and that is fakes will be exposed. Fakes will be exposed. Now, having just addressed the phoniness of the Pharisees in the previous chapter, let me read verses 1 through 3 again. It says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops.'" Hypocrisy is pretending to be what one is not. An actor. A fake. And fakes will be exposed. Those who teach falsely will be exposed. Those who give in to false teachings will be exposed. You know, never in my entire life have I seen a news headline that read, "World famous doctor found to have authentic credentials." I've never read that. Or I've never read about a renowned financial advisor headline that said, "Found to be trading legally." It's always the other way around, right? When Bernie Madoff was found to be very dishonest, a very dishonest financial advisor who stole billions of dollars from unsuspecting investors, the news headlines read, "Bernie Madoff disrobed. Bernie Madoff's secret revealed." Those were the headlines. Fakes will be exposed. And here Jesus gives a warning and an encouragement concerning that. Now we're looking at hypocrisy. We're looking at the fact that fakes will be exposed. But first of all, hypocrisy, know that it will contaminate. Okay? Not only does hypocrisy grow in us, but it can actually spread to other people. All right? Jesus says to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven, of course, is yeast. It's an organism, a fungus, really, that is put into bread to make it rise. And it only takes a pinch because from that pinch, it multiplies and spreads through the whole loaf. I'm sure you've heard, this is a different illustration, but you've heard of the snowball effect? The snowball effect of a lie? Have you ever experienced the snowball effect of a lie? You see, the instant we tell a lie, we are put into a position to tell another lie to try to cover the first one, and then another, and then another. Yeah, I once won a Grammy Award. Oh, you did, Craig? I didn't even know you could sing. Well, I used to be able to. I can't anymore. What song did you sing? Well, that's the snowball effect, okay? That is the leaven of hypocrisy. That's what happens when someone pretends to be something they are not. It will grow. It will contaminate us. And it can even spread to other people. So hypocrites will contaminate and hypocrites will be convicted. At some point, the lie will be found out. And again, this is an encouragement then to not participate in it because there will be consequences. Cover-ups are revealed. No matter what we or someone may look like on the outside or sound like on the outside, if there is sin involved, if there is a lie involved, if there is fakeness involved, at some point the cover-up will be removed. Lies will be exposed. Hidden things, our passage says, are made known. We may think we've kept everything out of sight. We may think we've covered our tracks. But someday, maybe in this life, certainly in the next, everybody's going to be able to see. It goes on and tells us that secrets are announced. All of those things that we whispered. Those lies perhaps that we even convinced ourselves of. Those sins that we have kept secret. They're going to be headlines cried out from the rooftops. Is it getting hot in here? We have a choice right now, though. We have a choice right now to come clean in our own heart and before the Lord, perhaps even to someone that we could be accountable to. But we have a choice right now to come clean, to abide in truth, to stop the leaven from spreading any further. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceived ourselves. In other words, we're all guilty in an area. We're all flawed in this area. In fact, we were talking about hypocrisy at the men's breakfast yesterday morning too. And it became very evident. It's part of our nature. It's part of our nature. But it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it continues, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is wanting for us to come clean, with Him. But fakes, liars, those people that hold the cover, that conceal the truth, no matter how good they may be at it, if not in this life, certainly in the next, it's going to be exposed. I think it was Lewis Sperry Schaeffer, theologian, I think he was the first one that said this. He said, secret sins on earth are open scandals in heaven. And if I'm not mistaken, it's based on this very passage that we're in here this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 affirms what we're talking about. Hebrews 4:12 through 16 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. And here's the last part, to whom we must give account. We're going to have to account for these things at some point if we don't account for them now. Counting for them now, the passage continues. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. I'm talking about Hebrews 4 here, that passage. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we should do. That's what we should do right now concerning those things, perhaps, that we have been thinking we've had covered up, those secrets. You can do that right in your own heart, you and God, right now. But fakes, false teachers, those people that cling to the things they've covered up, they will be exposed. And the second consequence is fears will be realized. Fears will be realized. Not only will fakes be exposed, but fears will be realized. And this fear that our passage talks about, or will talk about here in a minute, speaks of a respect for power that determines one's actions. That's the fear we're talking about. It's a respect for power that determines one's actions. Look at verses 4 and 5 in Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Hypocrites, liars, false teachers think that as long as they can keep their sin secret from other people, they'll be okay. I dare say that there are false teachers in our world right now, people who have big lies in our world right now that have gone to great lengths to keep a secret from being exposed because they fear that exposure could even get them killed. As long as they can keep things under wrap, they think they're safe. But what they fail to realize is that God hasn't missed anything. He hasn't missed anything. He knows it all. Anyone here have a dash cam? Okay, a couple of you, they're becoming very, very popular. Little digital cameras on the dashboard of your car that record everything that's going on as you drive. And they've become very popular. There are actually many video hosting websites, and you can find people's dash cam videos. And typically, they're not the ones where nothing happens, okay? You're seeing something happen. And one of the reasons they've gained such popularity is because of frauds, fakes, scammers. There are numerous, lots and lots, hundreds of videos online of a car that has a dash cam. The car in front of it comes to a stop and then backs into them, okay, and claims that they hit them. And it's fraud. It's just his word, one the victim's word against the scammer's word. But oh, how things change when the victim says, "I've got a dash cam." It's almost gratifying to watch the look on the scammer's face when they find out that it's all on video. You can just see the fear rise in their face because they know they've been caught. What hypocrites fail to realize is that God hasn't missed anything. He sees and knows it all. And true, long-lasting justice will one day be served. And at that point, they will realize, while hypocrites think they're doing well, keeping their secret from other people lest they get in trouble, they've kept nothing from God. So Jesus tells his friends, don't be like them. First of all, don't fear man, because oftentimes we can become hypocrites because we're trying to please men. We're fearing men. Jesus says, don't fear men. Don't fear what they might say about you or even do to you. It's not man that one needs to protect himself from. The worst thing man can do to you is kill your body. His retaliation at worst is physical death. Don't fear man. Jesus says, do fear God. While the fear of man can lead one to lie and cover up sin lest it be exposed, the fear of God will lead a person to honesty because there's nothing hidden from him. Along with that, God can vanquish the hypocrite. He sees the liar and can punish the liar. In fact, Revelation 21 has a number of passages of scripture that talk about liars. In fact, Revelation 21:8 elaborates on what we just read here in Luke. It says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And that is a reason to fear God. God can vanquish the hypocrite, but God will value the honest. He will value the honest. Those who fear God are valued by him. In Luke chapter 12, look at verses 6 and 7. Jesus touches on it. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Those that trust in God, those that understand that God doesn't miss anything, those that come to him and uncover their own secrets and confess those things to God, God values that. He values that. And it's illustrated right there in those verses. But this now leads us to some questions, at least some questions that popped into my mind. What is it truly then that separates hypocrites from those that are honest? What is the difference between those who fear man and those who fear God? Why would these Pharisees, teachers of the law, supposedly godly leaders, why would they act in such hypocritical ways? Well, the answer is they don't believe in God. They don't fear God. They don't believe that God will judge them. In the context of our passage, they don't believe that Jesus is him, which leads us to our next consequence. And that is the fact that faith will be discerned. Whatever we are truly trusting in, at some point, it will be discerned. Faith will be discerned. That one, what one is putting his faith in will come to light. Are they trusting in the truth or are they trusting in lies? Look at verses 8 and 9. Jesus said, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Faith, whatever it is we're trusting at one point, at some point, is going to be discerned. We will naturally affirm what we believe in verbally. We will naturally condemn what we don't believe in. So it all gets revealed. We do it every day. We do it every day with products. I bought a motorcycle last summer and I really like it. Talk to me and I'll tell you about it. We will naturally affirm what we believe in. We will naturally condemn what we don't believe in. And our faith will be discerned by which way we go. Well, the Pharisees denied Christ. While they claimed to be experts in Jewish law, they should have known exactly what to look for in their own Messiah when he came. There are many attributes given about Messiah in the Old Testament. These are the words that these Pharisees knew. They knew them. It's clearly portrayed in the Old Testament and then abundantly fulfilled in Jesus. Yet they didn't believe it. In fact, in John 5:39, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Yet they refused to believe it. And their faith, or really their lack thereof of faith in the truth, is discerned. And here are the consequences. Here again we find a warning and an encouragement. Confession leads to confession. Jesus says, "Those that believe in me will openly, who openly acknowledge me, I will acknowledge them." Okay? Confession leads to confession. He says, "Those that believe in me will openly acknowledge who I am, and therefore I will acknowledge them." Romans 10, 8 through 10 says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confession of Christ leads to salvation and eternal life in heaven, where Christ will acknowledge us. But the other side of that is denial leads to denial. Those that don't acknowledge the truth, those that even fail or ignore the truth, fail to even look into it to see whether it is true or not. Those that don't believe in me, Jesus says, and deny who I am, I will deny in heaven. Romans 21:27 says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles." Revelation 21:8 says, "The unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's separation from God. Denial leads to denial. Now in verse 10, Jesus gives us an a puzzle. A puzzling verse. Enigma, that I can say. It's wow. You know, I got to tell you, I practiced that word, and I knew that the instant I got up here and tried to say it. It's a puzzling verse, okay? Listen to it. "And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven." Okay? This is a truth that seems difficult to understand. Well, I think because it's connected to the discernment of faith in Christ or not, connected to it by the word "and," I believe it elaborates on the above warning and encouragement. So here's what I believe Jesus is telling us. Those that belittle the Son of Man can be forgiven. Belittling is speaking against him. It's saying that he is less than he is. The Pharisees were doing that. Jesus' own earthly brothers did that. I did that early in my life. And before you came to an understanding of who Jesus is and what he came to do for you, you spoke less of him than he is. But that is forgivable. Some Pharisees came to believe in Jesus. Jesus' brothers came to believe in him. I came to believe in him. The instant we place our faith in Christ, we are forgiven. However, those that blaspheme the Spirit of God cannot be forgiven. Now, blaspheme means to speak evil of, and in connection to faith, as the Holy Spirit is the author of God's word and the one who woos us unto faith in it. If one instead speaks evil of the truth and by default of the Holy Spirit, that one will not come to believe it and therefore cannot be forgiven. For this is it is only the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, that can lead a person to the truth of God. And the one who rejects it will not, actually hinders himself from coming to forgiveness. I don't believe that Jesus is communicating a one and done scenario with the statement, in which the instant one speaks evil of the Holy Spirit, he is condemned to hell. I believe the one speaking evil of the Holy Spirit is hindering, even nullifying, his own means of forgiveness through it. After all, the only unpardonable sin is unbelief in Christ. Unbelief is the sin that condemns a person. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might, through him, might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We have been warned and encouraged to not be like the hypocritical Pharisees with their man-pleasing false teachings, because there will be consequences. But in closing this morning, Jesus gives one more consequence that is both a warning to liars and an encouragement to believers to not act that way. Look at verses 11 and 12. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Here's the consequence. As we encounter those false teachers, as we encounter hypocrites, as they even call us, try to get us in trouble as a result of our stand for the truth, know that facts will be provided. That's our last point, our closing point, actually. Facts will be provided. The warning is really to magistrates, authorities, and authorities in the synagogues, that the truth will be known. Okay? It will come out. And you will be revealed for the hypocrites that you are. The encouragement here is to believers that the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say to them when they make accusations against you. I once spoke with a pastor that said he never prepares for his Sunday morning messages. He said he simply prays right before he goes up to the pulpit, and the Holy Spirit leads him and then gives him the words to say in that very hour, because that is what this passage promises. Well, actually, that is not what this passage promises at all. Okay? This passage has to do with that believer who is persecuted and accused of doing wrong by liars. And it will be in that hour that the Holy Spirit will give him the words to say to them. As for a pastor preparing messages, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, study, study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What we're doing here this morning, while definitely spirit taught, should be the result of many hours of preparation, study, and teaching. And just so that you know, this is not the only hour during the week that I work. In fact, I love my time. I love my time with the Holy Spirit during the week as I study and He teaches me what I might teach you. But here we learn two things. Back to hypocrites. The hypocrites will persecute believers. It's just a fact. Note, Jesus doesn't say if, but when, okay? Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities. And it may not be, our persecution here now may not be as official as this, but it will happen. It will happen. John 15:20, Jesus says, "Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me," and they did, "they will also persecute you." Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Hypocrites will persecute believer, but also the Holy Spirit will teach believers. In that hour, when it happens, the Spirit of God will teach you what to say. And sometimes it's what not to say. Sometimes it's just a matter of zipping it. Okay? But the Holy Spirit will be the one that leads and guides in that. And rather than being man pleasers, hypocrites ourselves, trying to say what'll ever appease who it is that's coming against us, rather than being that, we will be God pleasers. And we'll be in good company. Good company. Two verses and we're done. Acts 5:27 through 29, as they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you to not teach in Jesus' name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this sobering passage. And Lord, as we've discussed, we come to you this morning readily admitting that we do have that nature of hypocrisy within us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you for this sobering passage. Thank you for the opportunity as your children to come to you even right now from our heart to yours in the silence of our mind, confessing those things that we've kept hidden, that we may begin afresh. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.